Cool. That's awesome. Well, some of you, most of you probably know me. I'm Lauren, and I'm worship pastor here, so I'm usually up there. Hey, guys. But I am really excited that I get to preach and share a message in the Word with you guys tonight. I'm excited, and it's cool. The song that Jonah picked for right before this is perfect to lead into my message, and even what James talked about will be cool. So I know God's already been working on your hearts and preparing you guys, so I'm excited to share a little bit more with you guys. And when they asked me to join the preaching team, they're like, how do you feel about it? I'm like, well, I mean, we're pretty solid right now. We're Lori, and Lauren for our females who are up here preaching. So I'm like, if I'm bad, at least I have the Lore thing going for me. That, like, at least that's on point. So I've got that part at least. I wanted to start off with a little story for you guys. Most of you guys, how many of you actually, I'm curious, how many of you guys actually went to the Colony High School? I know a big crew of, right? Okay, a good chunk of you. Cool. So I got to visit the Colony High School for the first time about, I don't know, it was probably like 5 years ago. So I had just started at Horizons, which is the church that meets here on Sunday mornings. I was their worship pastor and their youth pastor. And it was like my first year or two, and the city was doing this thing. They invited everybody to the high school for like this luncheon thing. And then after they're like, hey, if anybody wants to take a tour, there, you're welcome to. And I was like, perfect. Like, I'd love to. I'd love to see, as a youth pastor, I'm like, I want to see where my students are every week and like what their life is like. And also, I was homeschooled for most of my growing up, so I never got to go to public high school. So anytime at a public school, I'm like, what's in here? what do public school kids experience? So I was really excited. And so we're taking this tour and we're walking around, and they walk me past the gym. They're like, oh yeah, that's the gym. And I guess everybody else was like, yeah, gyms. Everybody's seen a gym. And I was like, the gym? What does the gym look like? I've seen gyms, but I peeked my head all the way in instead of just like, oh yeah, cool, that's the gym. And the teacher saw me and she goes, hey, what are you doing? I was like, oh, well, we're here. Never mind. I don't want to hear it. You need to get back to class. And I was like, and you know, at this point, like, I've graduated college, so I had 4 years at university. I lived a year abroad. I just got married. I've been married for like 6 months. So I'm like 24, 25, and I'm like, I'm not 16, 17, or even 18. And so I go to like, I smile and I go to kindly explaining, and I'm like, oh, I'm actually here touring. She's like, stop. I just don't want to hear it. You need to get back to class. Like, I don't care what the reason is. Get back to class right now. I was like, I'm done trying to argue with you and explain to you that I'm not who you think I am, and I'm not how old you think I am. Which, for those of you who are like, she's not 24, no, I turned 30 this year. I'm old. So you're like, no, that's still really young, and it is young, but it's older than 16. That I will take that. All 30 of those will be mine. So tonight, I'm talking about like, that teacher just didn't understand, what did she want to, that I was not who she thought I was. And tonight, we're going to talk about that mistaken identity. She had my identity wrong. She thought I was a student. She thought I was a different age. She didn't know me. She didn't know who I was. And still, she treated me like I was a student. And so tonight, we're talking about being made new in Christ and what that identity in him is, as you can see, new creation now. I would love if Melanie can put up 2 Corinthians 5:17 if we have that verse. This is one of my favorite verses because it's just to me like the most epic reality of who we are in Christ, of our identity. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And since you guys are pretty experienced about reading things off a screen together, I'd love it if we can read this verse together. Would y'all do that with me? Perfect. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Amen. The new is here. That's the biggest thing. Because I know for me, a lot of times, I just think of that the new is like something off in the future. But I love like, the new is here. The old has gone. And I know that's one of the things when we talk about baptism that John was using that analogy. It's like, hey, like the old has gone. Like we bury our old selves and we're raised to the newness that is life in Christ. And this year, we're kind of going through talking about different people in the Bible and their stories to just like look at all the stories. And so when I was thinking about someone who is a perfect example of the old has gone, the new is here, I thought of Paul. So if y'all would turn to Acts 9 with me, we are going to be looking at Paul or Saul's life as he is known, starting in verse 9. So there, that's an identity cue right there. He started out as Saul, and eventually God was like, hey, you need a new name for the new person that you are. So we're going to just start. We're going to read a lot tonight because I figured I can summarize the story, or we can just read the story, and scripture is really awesome, so we're going to read the story. So starting in verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Talk about a radical experience meeting God, right? Like, and then a lot of you might be familiar with this story, so if you're like, yeah, the whole Saul thing, blinding light, like, just bear with me. We're gonna really dig into it, and it's a cool story no matter what. So receive the wonder of that. So starting back in verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. I like that he's like, do you know who you're talking about, actually, because I do, and I don't want to go visit him. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. So he's like, no, I have not just some plans for this guy. I have really big plans for him to go and share my word about who I am and what I have for people. He says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, so not just like sometime later, immediately, the old is gone, the new is here, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So I want to look into a couple of things about this passage, about what in there talks about made new and what we can learn about being made new. So one of the things I love about it is those instantaneous things. Like, immediately, these things fell from the sky. Like, and Saul wasn't like, oh, weird, that whole light thing. I've got some spots in my eyes. Let's just keep going. It totally altered his plans for where he was going and what he was doing and how he was handling life. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Like, so I know, like, that was part of a lot of their practices, you know, like, because he was a religious guy. He was doing this for religious purposes. He wasn't just, like, an outlaw person. Like, he'd gotten permission from the religious leaders nearby to go and do this thing. So he was on a holy mission, according to his own beliefs. And so I don't know if he was not eating and drinking because he was just seeking God and trying to figure out what was going on, or if he was so distraught about all of a sudden being blind and having this experience he didn't know how to process. I don't really know exactly why he didn't eat for 3 days, but I feel like he was probably really distraught and really intense and why he was doing that. So we see that. And then when it talks about once Ananias comes and obeys God and does what he told him to do and he talks to Saul, I love just that picture of this scales immediately fell. Something like scales fell from eyes. And like, I don't think it's like literally that Saul had snake eyes or something and shed these scales from his eyes. But I think it's like saying, hey, this is a physical representation. And maybe there really was something physical that happened in that moment. I believe that's totally possible. But it's illustrating what was happening in the spiritual, that there was this blindness spiritually as well, and that God removed that when he committed to the way. So that's my first point that we want to talk about, is made new starts when you commit to the way. And when they say the way, and there he's talking about following Jesus, not just a religious statement of faith or beliefs, but hey, when you say, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to do things his way, that's when made new starts. It doesn't start when you feel like you get everything right, or when you feel like you've reached 75% good rather than, 45% bad. Like, there's not an exact ratio of when made new is actually legit or where you have to prove it. It's something that God does immediately in your heart, and then we just get to walk that out. But it starts when you commit to the way and you commit to following Jesus. Again, back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I really hope you'll have it memorized by the time I finish talking about it, because I'm going to talk about that verse a lot. It's a good one. But if anyone is in Christ, anybody at all, even a guy like Saul, if anyone is Christ, he's made new. I want to look at a couple of other verses that talk about what that looks like when made new begins with Jesus. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So Jesus is saying, I'm not out to just poke people and say you're doing this wrong or this right. He's like, this is literally a life transformation that goes from death to life. The way you live, the way you think. John 14:6, this is again Jesus talking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then one more I wanted to talk through with you guys is Romans 12:2. And this one is actually Paul writing way later in Romans, and he's telling others now. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So don't be like everybody around you and just go with the flow of what everybody else is doing. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So there's that first transformation we see in Paul, or Saul, about being made new. It starts immediately when we decide that we're going to follow Jesus. And then, I mentioned that, I guess it's in verse 9. Yeah, for 3 days Saul was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And then we also see in verse 16, when God's talking to Ananias, he says, I will show him, Saul, how much he must suffer for my name. And again, I don't think this is God being vindictive, like, I'm going to show him. Because sometimes when we hear words like that, like phrases, we think of what they would be like in our cultural, like, we say, oh, I'm going to show them. Like, it's usually a vindictive kind of statement, like proving something to someone. But I think he's like saying, like, I'm going to reveal him, to him how much he's going to end up suffering for my name, because he's my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to all these places. And so I wanted a reminder too, because sometimes, especially if you're new to your faith, you come in and you're like, yes, I'm made new, and now it's going to be like this and this and this, and it's awesome. But we see in this transition, like, even though it's an immediate thing, like, the old is gone, the new has come, there's still, like, this jolt that we have, at least socially, maybe with our family, maybe within ourselves, that made new doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Oh, that's funny. I hadn't seen the slides. I was like, why is everybody like, it's not that funny of a point, you guys. The picture is funny. So made new doesn't mean it's easy, right? Like, it's this immediate thing that happens on the inside. But even Saul talks about that from the inside and the outside. Like, okay, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like, it starts here. But sometimes when you start acting it out and living it out, you're like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Oh, I have to apologize to them. You know, whatever it is, like, there's those things where you're like, yes, I'm made new. And you have these like really things you're excited about. And then kind of reality sometimes sets in and you're like, oh, that's what following in the way looks like. That's what being made new looks like when I act like it. And so, yeah, and I was even thinking, I was like, man, even the phrase born again, I grew up in church, but Jesus tells this adult, very very well educated in the religious room, I think he's a Pharisee, but he tells him that you need to be, I guess it's Nicodemus, and he tells him you need to be born again. And he was like, that sounds really awkward, God. And you're like, Jesus, like, are you sure that's what needs to happen? But what Jesus was saying is, like, you need to, like, it's a fresh start. You get a full redo. And again, that's that idea of being made new. And we don't have to choose sin. So I want to keep on reading. Doesn't mean it's easy, but I want to keep on reading and see what happens next for Saul. So we're going to pick up the other half of verse 19, still in Acts 9. So it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? So he's like, that's the guy that was trying to kill and put everybody in jail, right? They're like, yeah, that's definitely him. And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Talk about some good friends. It's good stuff. Verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Bet that kind of hurt. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus Saul had stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. So talk about some big time transformation of when Saul encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then we haven't even hit the end of chapter 9 yet. And he's already visited multiple cities. People are trying to kill him. He's grown powerful as he shares the message of hope. And then not only just like, oh, he impacted a couple of lives. You know, at the end it says, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. You know, like, he made a huge impact just because he started walking out in that newness. But there's another couple of points I want to make about how his journey to made new looked. We see a lot of parts in this story where there are some people who were other maybe Christians. We do see other Christians and then Jews who, when he starts speaking, they whisper to each other. They're like, is that really Saul trying to tell us how to live our lives? You know? And they're like, who is this guy? And they're like, that's the guy that was trying to kill everybody, right? And they're like, yeah, that's him. So for me, kind of what I see in that is Saul was really secure in the fact that he was made new. He was really secure in his identity and being made new, and that he was following the way and he was following Christ and doing what he asked him to do. And so I want to, as you guys, we're all walking out that newness as children of God, as people who are doing our best to walk in the way that is following Jesus, that you're made new no matter what people think or say. Because sometimes you do get to the point where you're really, I remember the first time where I've had experiences where I'm like, you know what, like I need to stop doing that and I need to start living like this. And when I tell people that, or I say like, hey, do y'all mind, like, let's not talk about that person like that. They're like, oh, like, well, who do you think you are? Or like, or I'd find out that they just like would go to another room and talk without me there. And like, that was hurtful. I was like, I want to still be here. Like, I just want to be part of talking bad about someone. And so like, there's little things that like that where you start to do, or maybe your friends don't want to, you know, like you're not going out drinking with friends anymore and you lose those friends. It's like, man, or they say things about you and who you used to be and how much fun you used to be or something, you know, whatever it may be, that you get to be made new no matter what other people think or say, when we're really standing in that and walking out, being the kind of people that Christ called us to. And there's so many parts in this verse where we see that happening with when God comes to Ananias and tells him, hey, you need to go see Saul. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I don't need to go see Saul unless you want me to go to jail. You know, so we see that happen there. And then verse 21, yeah, when he starts preaching in the synagogues, all the religious people there, again, they do the same thing. Like, isn't that the guy who was trying to kill and put everybody in jail? And they're like, yeah, that's him. 23, After many days, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. So at this point, people aren't just questioning how made new he is. They're also coming against him and saying, oh, we need to get rid of this guy. And then 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. And so those are other actually Christians who are following Jesus. Like, those are the disciples. He comes to join them, but they're all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. So they're seeing like he's faking it, trying to get in with them, so then maybe he can infiltrate, you know, like undercover Christian for them, you know, like trying to get him in jail, whatever. So there's a lot of people who are coming to him saying, hey, I don't really think you're who you say you are, and I don't really think you're made new. And so Paul had to be really secure that because he was in Christ, he is a new creation, that he could walk in that and stand firm in that. And we have that same choice. And I think the coolest thing about this, like, we all, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So that tells me, if you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you are made new. Like, that's a reality for us. But I think we all just get to these crossroads where we get to choose, am I going to walk in that new life, or am I going to walk in that old person who I was, or who other people think I should be, or who I was? So, to me, the biggest point that we get from this is that your actions and attitudes are the proof that you've been made new. Because if Saul had gone and they were like, I don't really think that you really had this great conversion experience, he's like, oh, yeah, man, I'm just messing with you. You know, like, they would have been like, yeah, they'd be like, okay, cool. Like, they would have all just moved on. But the fact that he was made new was totally proved by what he was doing, right? He's going around, he's preaching the gospel. When people say, I don't believe you, he goes, you don't have to believe me. Watch me. You know, like, look at the way I'm living. Like, this is the proof. And so, because I'm, yeah, sometimes it's really easy to be like, yes, I've been made new inside, so it doesn't matter what's going on outside. But what we do, what's reflected in our actions tells what's in our heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, is a proverb. So it's like, whatever's coming out of us, that's what's inside of us. And so, that's, to me, like, the biggest thing that we can take away. Could be like, okay, yeah, you know what? I need to stand firm no matter what other people say. And, like, I am a new creation and standing firm in that. But I think the biggest thing, and this also, if you start acting like it, it changes something in your heart. I remember one time, I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis and his writing. And I remember I was going on a trip, and I was paired with someone who really, really annoyed me. And I was going to be her roommate for a whole week. And I was going on, like, a missions trip, and so I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out how to be nice to her and not be, like, irritated the whole time. And during that time, I read something from C.S. Lewis, and he's like, hey, you know what? Like, if you act a certain way, if you act in love, even if you don't feel it, at first, your heart comes in line with your actions, and when you're really trying to love someone, you'll figure out ways to love them, and you'll really genuinely love them. I'm like, I don't really know that I believe this, but it's worth a try because I want to not be annoyed with this girl the whole week, but I'm like, it's, you know, when there's someone that annoys you, like, being with them for a couple hours is hard. Sharing a room with just them for a whole week is really, really, really hard. So I was willing to give anything a shot, and I did that, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, and not in a mean, like, fakey way, like, oh, yeah, that's so funny. You know, like, not like that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. But in a real, like, genuine, like, hey, how's your day going? You know, like, just getting to know someone and love on them and include them in the conversations that I'm part of and just check in on them, like, smile at them genuinely, because you're not being made new if you're just pretending. That doesn't count for anything. But that, for some of us, too, maybe you're like, I don't really feel that new. But we all know how to act it. You know, God's word has a lot of things about how do you live in that newness of life? Because it's really hard when we're programmed for sin or we're programmed, you know, or like addiction, you know, like y'all know a lot more about that than I do. But that's like, that's hardwired in you. And so it's like, how do I do the things I don't, like I want to do and not the things I don't want to do? Like, how do I do that? And so it's like one step at a time. And so, you know, day by day, just choosing to do the next right thing. And this book is full of a lot of ways to do the next right thing. So one of the passages I want to read, again, I know I'm reading lots of scripture, but Yeah, like it's the good stuff. And so I'm like, even if everything else I say is bad, like this is all good stuff. So it's really like really good preaching protection for me. So it's good stuff. So we're going to look at Colossians 3, 1 through 14, because I think it's just this perfect, beautiful description of what made new looks like. Like, what does that look like? Starting in verse 1, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." So here we see, set your minds. So it's not just your actions or your feelings. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. "For you died," remember? The old is gone. "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So here's the, like, really, like, if you need practical steps, here they are for you. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, which are these things: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." No, he's like, okay, for those of you who need a list, here's all the things. You're like, you know, they're putting it all out there. "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with these things: with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Amen. Yeah, so there is a really solid description. Okay, this is what made new looks like. This is what the old you did. This is how the new you gets to live. And I love that. I know sometimes I've said this before, something like, man, like, I'm preaching at a recovery church, but I've never had to go through the same kind of recovery process that you guys have, but I've had to go through the recovery process of the old me becoming the new me, you know? And that's like, that's the ultimate thing. Christ calls us to leave our old selves behind and become new, no matter what that old includes, whether it's addiction, or for me, like the thing that I'm probably more prone to, like, you know, I could find a lot of holiness in the things I haven't done. You know, like, oh, well, I've never done that. But that's just as big of a sin. Pride comes before a fall. And so I've definitely been in this constant process of Christ renewing me and me becoming made new. Because made new doesn't mean like, hey, I don't do just bad things anymore. I do more good than bad. It's like Jesus tells us to be like him. That's his definition of what made new looks like. He allows us to have his life. He came for us to have life and life more abundantly. And so he's totally capable and willing and excited and waiting and eager to allow him to help us clean those things up, to continually be in this process of saying, hey, this thing, you don't need that anymore because I've got a new way for you. So maybe you're like me, and even after reading that passage in Colossians, you're like, I don't really, like, I understand the idea of made new, but, like, what's some really practical ways that I can walk in that? And so some of you already got this when you were coming in, but Travis, there he is. It's like, yeah, you're hard to spot right now. He's, like, crouched over behind all the chairs with, like, this much of his face showing. He has some pieces of paper I want him to go ahead and hand out to you guys. Some of you have it. Some of you might not have gotten it yet. But this is, they're who I am statements. So it's got three different sections, and it literally just has, I am this, I am this, I am this. Because for me, sometimes it's hard to remember exactly who I am in Christ. What does that new identity look like? And so this one says, I'm accepted, I'm God's child. As a disciple, I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. I've been justified. I'm united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit. And so I wanted each of you guys to have these, and I know some of you are like, this is really small to read. I'm sorry. If you want a copy, I will send you a digital copy, and you can print it off in as big of a font as you'd like. But for those who can read it and want to be able to read it, I just thought this is a perfect, I have a sheet of these, and I just keep it handy, so when I need to remind myself of who I am, I can read those things. And you can pick it based on what I'm accepted, I'm secure, I'm significant, whatever it is that you most struggle with. There's all those verses. Put your name in it, whatever it is you need to do. But as we talked about, a lot of stuff starts with the renewing of your mind and the way that we think about ourselves. And so sometimes just speaking these truths over ourselves, I am this, I am this, and putting a scripture behind it. It's not just this positive self-talk that's like going to fluff you up and make you feel better for a couple of hours. It's your identity in Christ, and that's something that you can stand on and be firm in. Yeah. So if the band wants to go ahead and come on up, I want to end reading 2 Corinthians 5:17 together. Like I said, this is one of my favorite verses just because I think, you know, it's so easy for the devil to come and kind of rub things in your face or hold something over your head. And so to me, this is one of the biggest things you can say, if anyone is in Christ, which, you know, like, that's a lot of us. Like, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. So if Melanie, if we can get that that verse up there, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it was the very first one we looked at. I'd love to be able to read that together. And if you're interested in learning more about your identity in Christ, there's a really good good book called Victory Over the Darkness that these are actually from. But it's just full of just scripture and just like, it's so good. So if you're like, man, I really want to learn more about walking in Christ and what it means to have that identity and to be made new, it's by Neil Anderson. But if you need a book recommendation and you're like, man, I want to grow in this, that's a really great one. So to end what I've got to share with you guys about Made New tonight, I just want to end reading this scripture verse together again. Just as a reminder to you guys that you are made new. The old is gone and the new is here. And again, if you're interested in be like, yeah, now I kind of understand that made new thing and what my old self being gone and new is here and I want to be baptized, please do talk to someone. We would love to do that with you. So y'all read this with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
One life to live. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
We got two lives to live. First one, the second one begins the minute we realize we ain't got but one life to live.
When you start living like you only got one. Yeah.